Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the East SETI Ranch, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. I'm in my little underground facility again here, and everything is up and running. We've gone through all of our system, eliminated any bugs, everything's running perfectly, and hopefully this show will stay together. There's nothing on our end, it's something on the other end, probably the phone companies and whatever connections they have that keep cutting us off. So anyway, hopefully the lines will stay up and this will work fine. I've got a great guest tonight, and I've also got some other things I wanted to announce. We just had some amazing footage. It's up on the website right under Lisa Renee, and you can see it. We photographed the mountain opening up, a huge interdimensional doorway opening up, and this wonderful ship came out of the mountain, flew right towards us, right towards the camera, did a nice cameo appearance, made a nice turn, and headed off into the west. So that's all on film right now. It's undeniable. There was 15-plus witnesses out there at the time, and it's all on film. So here we have the multiple witnesses and the footage to go with it again. So anyway, you can see that on the site. It's not up on the website yet. It should be up there pretty soon. But without any further ado, I want to welcome Lisa Renee on the show. Lisa, are you with us?
I am. Hi, James. Wow, what exciting news. I can't wait to go check that out.
Yeah, they sent it to you, but I guess you haven't got your email yet, but we sent you a copy of the footage, but it's just amazing. And, you know, the conference we just had, the Science Spirit World Transformation Conference, the one you were one of the speakers, what was so nice is we did an intention experiment, not the one in the field, but the one in the building. And I don't know if you, I think you already left.
I just had said goodbye to you right when it was starting. I had to leave, so I was so sorry to miss that.
Yeah, if you had stayed another 20 or 30 minutes, you would have been part of all the other speakers. Yeah, we had a huge ship fly right over after the intention experiment to experience their energies and invite them in. You know, a beautiful ship flew over, and John Riley filmed it. You know, Brooks Agnew was out there, and our famous Renato Langato's line, I got it again, was on the clip from last year. Remember last year when those four ships came in?
Yes. Renato's my buddy. Of course, I love him. So, yeah, we actually shared a power-up. When my first power-up I shared with Renato out in your field last year. So, yes, it was fabulous.
Yeah, we've got so many things to cover. I wanted to get onto the topic. I love the topic that you have, God Excludes No One, a huge wake-up call for humanity to unity.
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot about that with the current shockwaves rippling through our world and the deepest insights for human and planetary transformation. And your website, if you want to get to it, it's energeticsynthesis.com.
Yes, thank you.
Oh. So people want to look at that, and we'll give that again before we get off the air. But so I'd love to hear what you have to say on that topic and any other topic you want to talk about.
Well, thanks. Well, it's nice to speak with you since our last meeting up at the conference. I wanted to ask how you were doing, if you've gotten a little relaxation after that incredible conference. I spoke to so many people that just had really profound experiences and appreciate so much what you and the eSETI crew are doing up there. And so I really wanted to just say that, as well. I had an amazing time, and I know what an amazing contribution and service that is. So many people just walked away from that weekend profoundly changed, and one of those beings that has become really a dear friend and colleague of mine since meeting him at your ranch, who was on your show last week, which was Mel Fabregas.
Yeah.
So it was fascinating to meet him there and kind of watch him as well have his first experience with actually seeing, you know, UFO activity. So, yeah.
He was on overwhelm there. He said just meeting all the speakers in the living room like that and you know, getting all that information and then seeing the ships and then, you know, opening up spiritually when he was here. He just said it was an overwhelming experience for him, and he gave us quite some really good airtime on his own show, you know, talking about his experience here. So I love what he said. He said, you know, I came up there, I heard from other physicists that this is real. I came up, you know, with discernment, thinking that this might be just a lot of woo-woo and nonsense. And he said, boy, you know, I said, my mind's changed, you know. But it was quite an experience for him.
Yes, it was. It was. And to me, an amazing sort of synchronicity and what I look at in terms of energetic movement. As you know me, I'm always talking about, you know, I'm looking at the consciousness fields in a more global way, and I'm trying to connect always with our audience between the macrocosm, what's happening in the global theater, you know, what you're able to see playing out, you know, on the planet, and then how that actually impacts you individually and personally in your life. And it's been so clear that there's been a rapid acceleration of these types of synchronicities, and that is one perfect example of that, where an incredible amount of information is brought forward in a very concentrated way, and then it almost spread out extremely fast as well. You know, like I noticed, it's like as Mel told two friends and he told two friends and so on and so on. It really was this sort of expansion that I've been feeling recently, which I really think is as well, you know, the planetary consciousness that's shifting is bringing us into platforms and what I call energy architecture that really supports unification. And I had said that to you last night, you know, about it's our huge planetary wake-up call to unify, and I happened to go on your site, and I saw you had put the exact same thing about Carl Kalaman talking about how we're coming into the unity consciousness phase, and I thought, oh, God, this is just so amazing. Once again, another sort of demonstration and verification what we're all really connecting to and we all sense and feel but have our own language and way of verbalizing it. So I thought that was really fabulous, too, to see that.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's funny because when I had him on my show, I was asking him questions like, well, where did they get this Mayan calendar? I said, I mean, whoever wrote this calendar had extreme knowledge of cycles and planetary influences and universal and everything. It's just amazing, you know, whoever gave this to them and worked with them. I said, I would bet my bottom dollar that this is some kind of Pleiadian consciousness or something of that nature. And then I can't remember his name, Barrios, one of the major elders that is you know, talking about this all the time. He said, yeah, the Pleiadians gave it to us.
Wow. Wow.
So there's another connection right there.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, for me, in my relationship with, you know, my guardian teams, they had been talking to me about July for at least 6 months and said that this was going to be a very big time that would delineate a different push forward, sort of like a frequency split. You know, again, we can either catch a wave on an ascending spiral, or if we're not, you know, fully participating or conscious and we're adopting more of that really aggressive, you know, and I think what I'm seeing, I don't know if you're seeing this, is that those that control through fear consciousness are getting very aggressive, which, you know, again, when anything is sort of losing its control, it becomes more aggressive or it becomes more bullying. And I've been seeing a lot of that in the environment and also experiencing it myself with my own work and stuff like this. I think the more that we step out and really connect to each other, beings like us that are very much interested in creating a common thread of unification and supporting each other and supporting humanity and the planet and coming into this realization through, you know, the end of this cycle, and that we have choices during this time and we can choose a higher reality. And one of the things that I think is really exciting that I wanted to talk to you about too as well, which I think is a part of the unifying consciousness, which to me is synonymous with galactic consciousness, meaning we're starting to connect to the cosmos, we're starting to connect to cosmic intelligences. And that takes us out to, I think, ancient astronaut theory, which I've noticed has been blasted in the mainstream media in the last 4 or 5 months. Very recent, there has been on the History Channel a whole bunch of episodes talking about ancient astronaut theory. And again, in actually watching these episodes, I was so pleased to see something that was introduced intelligently. You know, the scientists and the minds that we're obviously speaking about were not rolling their eyes in disgust, but were actually speaking about it in an intelligent way and posing the question, you know, why is that so far off from the science mind, to begin to really open into that awareness of ancient astronaut theory, which is basically saying that extraterrestrial beings, or quote-unquote ancient astronauts, have visited the Earth and were very much a part of, you know, human origins and human evolution. And so I was really excited about that, and that was the first thing I wanted to say to you, is maybe we can get the ancient alien people, the ancient astronaut people on Eric Van Doniken's crew to come have an event up at ESETI. Because that would be a fabulous interlinking of unification.
Yeah. Now, I met him and went to lunch with him once, and we had a long talk about it. And he said he was only interested in antiquity, you know, and the research.
Really? Oh, that's fascinating, because to me it has everything to do with what's happening now. Bring it
exactly. And that's what I told him. I said, you know, everything you've written about is back, and it's here now. And if you want to experience it firsthand in the present moment, it's happening now. And he wasn't interested in it at the time. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he might be interested again. But I thought that was amazing. I go, that, how can you turn something like this down, you know?
But, wow. Yeah, that maybe that's a timing issue. I totally agree with you, because for me, you know, obviously as well, on the heels of having been to Egypt, and, you know, I think for a lot of us, you know, if you have the experience of going there, you cannot help but be fully in the presence of understanding that there is extraterrestrial influence there. I mean, it's undeniable. It really is. When you're there, you feel like you're on another planet. You're looking at a different type of languaging. You can tell that it's more than symbolic, that it's sort of multidimensional. It has multiple meanings that open different levels of understandings. And, you know, not to mention, you know, 5,000-year-old hieroglyphs that show pictures of, you know, helicopters and spaceships. I mean, you kind of go, gee, how did they know about that 5,000 years ago? So,
yeah, I saw those levels they had painted on one of the walls there. They had all these different levels, and the low level they had these weird little creatures, and they even had grays on them and kind of like a thing. And then as you move up the levels, there was just basic humans, you know, and then above that were enlightened humans, and then the gods above that. And, you know, when you look at that and you're enlightened or you're awake, you look at that, you get it right away. And then the archaeologist saying, oh, no, that is actually a vase. That wasn't really a gray. And they're trying to explain it away, you know. So I don't know. It's, you know, I guess you either have the neural net to get it or you don't.
I think that's exactly what's going on, especially now, is that, you know, every time we get huge influxes of frequency, and certainly, you know, it's indisputable even from physical manifestation. We've had, you know, the solar tsunami activity. You know, there's just been a tremendous onslaught of solar flares and coronal mass ejections and all kinds of changes, you know, in our sun and solar activity. And, you know, all of this, what I notice, you know, that how it impacts people is, you know, I'll see that it amplifies the energy in both extremes. You know, when we understand that we're existing in polarity, meaning you've got two forces. This is oversimplifying it, but just forces that promote life, that which is life force or God force, and that which is anti-life force. And you see those two forces really duking it out right now. And this is what I've been seeing almost in every, you know, external, or whether it's a 3D setting, whether it's, you know, beings that are talking about ascension, you know, the polarity is amplified in an extreme way, and it creates, especially for those of us that are not equipped to come into inner peace and get beyond the chaos and find a way to balance themselves, a lot of internal pressure cookers going on, and a lot of people having difficult times dealing with the stress that that energy, you know, really impacts you. It really feels stressful for a lot of people right now.
Yeah, I'm seeing some people are just kind of going bonkers with it and becoming very spaced out and indecisive, and and they're just, you know, all over the place. And, you know, if you have an extreme attachment to that person, you're going to be all over the place with them on that roller coaster. So it's so important right now to make your own personal God, spirit, creator connection, whatever you call it, you know, master that loving detachment and get focused in on who you are and where you need to go, and not allow yourself to be, you know, thrown all over the place by these crazy energies right now.
Yes, there's no doubt. I know both you and I have been, we both, and again, this is something we did separate without, you know, prior knowledge, and that is that I have workshops called Energetic Self-Mastery and Zen Heal with the Kundalini classes, and that, so we've both been motivated to really attempt to hold modeling, you know, to give people tools that way, because I noticed that that's becoming extremely important right now for that very reason, you know, at least having some kind of tool to be able to handle your emotional and mental body so that you can come into balance with yourself, because I'm seeing that too, a lot of, you know, and again, the more dominating the ego, the more challenging it is for that being to really reduce the mental chatter and not get caught into those waves of, you know, emotional imbalance or mental imbalance. So, you know, having, to me, I mean, having your God connection and having tools that bring you into peace are like, it's like a matter of survival at this point. You really need to have, you know, some tool, you know, meditation tool or connection tool that can really bring you back into center, because, you know, the energies are very intense. You know, there's no doubt.
I see some of these people, and it's very sad, but, you know, their whole network is, you know, the soap operas and the news, you know, mainstream news, and the corporations pretty much run that program. And they haven't done any work whatsoever. And what's sad is that they are just going to be caught, you know, basically with their pants down, you know, totally unaware with these energies. But they are starting to move, and you know, they can, you know, jump on that rocket ship if they want to, but it is going to be a lot harder for them to make this shift.
I've noticed that too, and actually, you know, my guides have said the same thing over especially the last couple years, and that's because of the amplification of the polarity of forces that's happening as a result of the new frequencies coming in. Because a way to understand it is when tremendous amounts of, let's say, galactic or, you know, gamma rays, you know, types of frequency that have not been exposed to our planetary consciousness field really start to exchange with our planet. And again, those of us that are star-seeded or indigos, or if we can participate with that frequency, and some of us, you know, actually become like acupuncture points of that consciousness. We're bringing the intelligence of that consciousness and that energy field to the planet. And this is something that many of us have very ancient agreements to do with this planet. And so, you know, as that happens, the frequency starts to come into the planet. And what most people don't understand is actually the function of alchemy and the function of polarity that's necessary to actually create new creations, to actually synthesize into higher patterns. So it's like saying we take higher frequency and we transduce it, meaning we create an orbit and a connection on the planetary grid so that new consciousness, that new frequency level can actually start to interact with this reality system. And as it starts to connect, it actually, there's patterns that can exist in the same space without frequency. So it's like saying when that frequency comes in, it's very much like a massive beacon of light that's being shined onto a dark room, you know, a room that was previously dark that you didn't know was there. And as that light or that visibility starts to be seen, because you may have noticed in our reality, so much cannot be hidden anymore. You know, we're starting to see, even in terms of, you know, government cover-ups and strange things, if you pay attention, it's almost, you know, it can't seem to stay hidden. It's like if somebody's representing one thing and showing that to the world, it's very clear that it doesn't stay hidden that long. And whether it's the BP oil spill, even though, you know, there's a lot of the mass consciousness still snowed on what's going on there, there's a lot of us that aren't. There's a lot of us that are seeing this and going, oh, my God, this is completely obvious what is going on. You know, whether we're looking at the parade of pharmaceuticals that are on our television set, you know, the thought form to the next level of asking, is somebody behind a desk pushing drugs on the public? I mean, you know, it becomes very clear to you after you see these patterns over and over again because they're so surreal and they're so extreme. So if you're paying attention, you can see it very clearly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been talking for a long time about, you know, when you have the oil companies and the pharmaceutical companies and the war industry running, you know, the planet and, you know, running your media and everything else, people don't really think there's any other option. And they're so programmed to believe that, you know, we don't need to have war. You know, the cures for most of the diseases are here. And also, too, the fuel synergy technologies are here as well, but, you know, they don't even know they exist or those are out there, you know, to experience. And, you know, I've seen, too, is that I think that's why they're so afraid of releasing the information concerning contact and the higher dimensional beings and everything else going on. They're so threatened by that because these beings have, you know, they've transcended war, they've transcended disease, they have, you know, all the energy they need to do whatever they want. They jump dimensions, you know, go forward, backward in time. They're totally unlimited, but, you know, they see that as a real threat, you know, because they are the evolution stunters, you might say, or the people holding back, you know, this planet from living in harmony with each other and the environment and cleaning this place up and restoring it to its pristine beauty.
I completely agree with you. And, you know, I think as well, you know, as I'm constantly working with timelines or understanding the timelines, meaning things that have impacted humanity's direction in a certain way. So it's like understanding that humanity is a group being. If we think of ourselves as all interconnected as one group soul and a part of each other, there are choices that we make vibrationally where we are stationing our consciousness. Whether we are currently participating and aware of that choice or not, we're always making choice. So the group soul of humanity has, you know, a weighted choice in the direction that it puts its energy, its focus, and its consciousness. And what you see on the planet today is actually a mass consciousness reflection of what the majority of the 7 billion beings ensouled on this planet actually believe as a truth or believe as a reality. And hence we see what's been created. And additionally, you know, one thing, of course, that's been talked about as well is that there have been influences of manipulation and mind control that have been perpetuating falsities and illusions and artificial realities that then promote or continue this sort of illusion that we are, you know, again, defenseless and not connected to the source and not connected to each other. Again, the idea of separation, the ideas of fear. And there are definitely both human representatives of that consciousness that have been either consumed or possessed by that group fear consciousness. It's like when you think about, you know, polarity of forces on this planet, you have to remember that it's beyond just one entity. Like, say, this entity, this human being is consumed by fear. This human being, as well as a negative alien, an alien that is connected to that fear consciousness, they can be consumed and possessed by that particular consciousness, and they can't experience themselves any other way because they're in some kind of locked mental paradigm that this is the way it is. You know, this, whatever this is the way it is. And they respond or more appropriately, they react to those fear types of buttons of, you know, suffering, control, dominion, this kind of thing. So, you know, certainly as well as that point of covering up and this whole sort of bizarre, you know, because it is a conspiracy about, you know, the hiding of extraterrestrials and their relationship with human beings. I mean, I can't as well think that if we become aware of this as common knowledge, and we as a race, as a species, become involved in understanding that there is extraterrestrial influence on our planet and on our evolution, the next step we're going to look at is their influence positive or negative on us? You know? And that also, I think, is another big reason. Not only just the threat of these higher technologies that we can have access to, is that, at least from my sources, from the Guardian perspective, there are entities that are abusing that technology against the human race because we are not aware that they're doing it. So if we start to wake up and understand these technologies exist, and then also become aware that there are other entities besides human beings in the physical third dimension walking around, then we start to automatically start thinking about, well, what are those beings doing here? And what is their interest in us? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. It kind of takes you to that next logical step. Again, you don't really have to be conscious to become aware of it. It really is a logical linear process that you can figure out. Just one and one is two. You know, what are they doing here? Why do they want to control us? Why are, you know, what is the agenda behind all of that? And that, I think, is really another level of amplification of why that lid has been placed there. And again, you know, even though I certainly don't have, you know, empirical data on this, and it's in truth, I've not spent a lot of time researching it because I've had a lot of sessions and remote viewing and things that connect me with direct information through my sources, but they say unrefutably that governments of this planet absolutely have contact with extraterrestrial races. Have made deals at the turn of the century. In fact, the Guardians say that in terms of trigger events, meaning choices that were made in our reality, that in the turn of the century during the time of Winston Churchill and in the 30s in the United States, that trade for technology with the Greys was actually made in return for abduction. Meaning, we'll take technology and we'll give you some human beings, just don't tell us. You know, yeah. Meaning we'll give you 5,000 of our citizens to basically experiment on, and, you know, for this, for whatever technology, you know, exists. And that was something that came up not, you know, maybe a couple of years ago that was like, wow. And again, I don't ask for the information. It just comes through as I'm working with healing certain things on the planet or healing certain things in people. I work with timelines, and they have me go to where there's a, quote-unquote, an event that has taken place on the planet that has impacted or influenced human beings' evolutionary movement forward in a very derogatory way. And they go back to that time and they work with the cellular memory that's there, and they actually try to heal it so that it doesn't have a consequence in the now moment. So it's like understanding everything as a composite total to what we are experiencing now. Like right in this moment, what we see going on in the planet is a series of choices that human beings have made over a course of time, and that's called a timeline. So if there's a timeline that has a sort of a catalytic event, something that really big happened, and according to the Guardians, what was really big is that when the Greys came and traded technology with the world powers around the turn of the century in the 20s and 30s, they started setting it up, apparently, with they tell me with Winston Churchill and Aleister Crowley and Hitler was the beginning of the setup, and that this was controlled by the dark entities that were trying to set that architecture of control and power. by, you know, again, the genocide and all of that, because the way they control is also through terrorism, invasion, genocide, because the more we kill each other, the more we bind each other to that fear consciousness paradigm. You know what I'm saying? The more we propagate war, the more we actually create walls in our mental body with much more fear, and much, because there's a consequence to those actions. You know, when you do something brutal and you kill somebody out of hate, that energy just doesn't lift and go away. There's a consequence to that frequency. You know what I mean? If you choose to engage in hate, there's a consequence.
Yeah, it gets like traumatized, you know. That's what I asked the Palladians about that, you know, why are you here? And they said to release the past. And then I asked more about that. And they said basically we're working with the grid, you know, the consciousness grid on the planet, and also all of the wars that are psychometrized into the planet, and all the death and destruction and
yes, that's exactly
anger and rage. And I've seen over and over again that these groups have to have that energy to exist or to continue.
That's,
and so if they're doing all they can to keep it going and keep
right, exactly. So they manipulate us like little puppets. And we don't understand, you know, when we're in war in Afghanistan, when we're killing people in Iraq and Iran while there's constant war there, that that's a stargate there. They need that energy of war, of death, of bloodshed to exist there. So they propagate it. And unfortunately, there's a lot of human beings that are kind of literally caught in the crossfire. But the fascinating thing about that knowledge of understanding the extraterrestrials' involvement with the world powers is, according to my sources, and just something to think about, is they say that was the beginning of the shadow government. So according to them, the negative alien agenda is what started the shadow government on our planet.
I know one thing I've noticed. I'm watching these people go. You know, you get somebody that, you know, is just a basic, normal guy, right? And he wants to make a difference and wants to change the planet. And he gets into politics. And so he has to kind of take a buy-off here and a bribe there and
right.
The money here and whatever to get into office. And, you know, he has to tell a few lies here and there. And each time he's, like, selling a little piece of his soul.
Yes.
And pretty soon he's in so deep that, you know, that he doesn't have much light left or no soul connection left. And then as they move up to the top, it gets darker and darker and darker until they've totally sold their souls completely. And they're just running automatically from other sources, that they're almost like puppets for other, you know, negative forces that are very controlling, very manipulating. And you know, I always tell people they own the first three chakras. They own survival, sex, and power, and they know how to manipulate you and do whatever they want with those energies, and that's what the it's all about. You know, the whole program here in social consciousness is so geared to that. But we've got to get out of the first three chakras and into the heart and soul connection, which is connected to source, and from that point start operating, and that way we can move, you know, beyond their program, you might say.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And that's a perfect example, I think, you know, in a lot of what we saw with the election of our current president. You know, there was such an amazing, you know, optimism and hope and change, and people were so thrilled to be able to see, you know, Mr. Obama elected into presidency, and yet, you know, the issue is that the system is corrupt, and people have to understand you cannot put that kind of pressure, like a messiah complex, on one human being, because he's inheriting the system. You know, the problem is the system, just like you said. You know, one can come in with the greatest of intentions, but again, if you have to operate within that system, it's almost like futile. So this is why, you know, seeing the structure, seeing the architecture, which is exactly what you mentioned, is based upon a parameter of three base levels of consciousness. Again, there's nothing wrong with the first three chakras, but when we understand that those are energy levels of information and processing, of which we as a being that is multidimensional is processing those three layers that comprises our 3D reality, we can't solve our problems here in 3D on a 3D intelligence. We're going to have to move into this greater and higher intelligence of Source, because Source knows how to reharmonize the environment. It's natural, organic frequency of Source, of God, is actually harmonic, that realigns things back into harmonic patterning. And so that's literally letting the mind, that mental body, that exists in those lower chakras, the ego, control, and allow the higher consciousness to come in. You become a vessel of that intelligence. And that's exactly about opening those higher levels, which, you know, hopefully is where we're going, but certainly as we're going there, it's certainly intense because we see that polarity amplified and you look at what's happening in the external. And it's pretty wild. It's pretty surreal. But, you know, clearly, you know, understand our planet is enslaved in its mental body fields, and therefore if those first three chakras are the mental body, it's genetically enslaved our flesh in these systems. And we have been controlled to believe in our mind these systems. So it becomes clear once we understand that mind control fences are frequency fences which suppress us. We have to get out of the mind in order to be free at that level. And that doesn't mean we just become loosey-goosey and, you know, we're connecting into the ethers. It's understanding that the heart intelligence and that higher consciousness is an intelligence. It's not just about inertia, you know, but it's an actual level of intelligence as well. And, you know, when you are in those higher frequencies, you know, you don't want to feed matrices, these mind control systems of division and separation and judgment. And this is what we need to stop feeding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree 100%. You know, there's so many programs running out there. Now, we had a lot of whistleblowers are coming up, like James Kosovo and all these other people are coming up, and they're talking about the alien technology and the deep underground bases and the shadow government. And
really?
You know, how they're using cell phone technology and satellite technology and HARP technology to totally trash, you know, human consciousness and broadcasting, you know, deep fear messages and, you know,
sorrow
and... Yeah, and they've got those down to a frequency, and they're broadcasting these, and it's pretty amazing when you hear this. You go, "Oh my God!" You know, this is beyond crazy. But you know, now it's being validated by so many whistleblowers.
And that I think it makes our job easier, James. That's why I appreciate it, because you know I'm definitely a different voice in the melee there. It's nice when, like you said, there's a whistleblower that has the empirical data behind it, meaning I've had this experience, I was there, because that's exactly, of course, the information that the guardians have said to me. And it is very hard. It took me a long time to imagine, because when you think about how big it is, it's mind-boggling. It's really hard to grasp your being, your mind on it at all, because you have to think about the chain of command and how many beings are involved in this. And, you know, like when there's a chemtrail in the sky that's meant to experiment in a demographic, you know, some kind of lab-based, you know, pathogen, that somebody gave the call on that. You know what I'm saying? Somebody behind a desk actually said, you know, okay, we're going to do this. And then all the people that actually did that, including the guy that flew the plane, I mean, what do they think they're doing? It reminds me of Hitler's, you know, the camps, you know, where the guards watching people get murdered over and over, women, children, it doesn't matter. And you're like, where is the humanity? How can you be a human being and do this? You know, you can't, obviously. You've got to be consumed by robotic fear consciousness and just possessed by it. I mean, I don't know how that exists, but it's very similar, that same type of consciousness where human beings are selling out human beings. It is very hard for me to understand it, and hence why I've had, I think, multiple experiences verified through my connections to help me understand that, because I truly don't organically understand it. It's not how I operate, think, or fathom. You can't fathom this. You know what I'm saying? That that this is the immensity of it and the cruelty of it is really beyond comprehension. It really is.
Well, I talked to a friend of mine that was having lunch with one of the pilots that actually flies those chemtrail planes. And what he told him, he goes, yeah, there's some UFO ranch over there in Washington we fly over and he said, douse them on a regular basis. And you know, he goes, do you know what you're spraying on them? He says, no. He said, no, we're just told that because there's a lot of UFO activity, they're spraying that area and on a regular basis. And I go, how sick is that? And I said, give me the guy's number. And he wouldn't, you know, he promised he wouldn't,
Right.
You know, I wanted to go knock on the guy's door and just say, hey, I'm the guy at the place that you've been spraying, you know, and I see you have a family here and you have kids and everything else. You know, we have kids too. What's wrong with you? You know, how can you do this in the interest of national security or any other reason other than just being a sick, a very, very sick being, you know? So, you know, these things that are being done are just mind blowing to me that, how can you be a willing participant? You know, it's like, look at the banksters. You know, so many people were thrown out of their homes and are in the streets right now. I mean, how can you do that just to make a profit? You know, and then they kill an ocean. And I heard after they pretty much wiped the Gulf out, they said, well, we are going to go back for the oil because there's something trillion barrels under there and we're going to get it. You know, and these are the BP guys saying that. I'm going, what? What's wrong with you people? You know, you can't handle the 100,000 PSI down there. You know you couldn't handle it, and you went after it anyway. And then you know, pretty much wasted the sea, and now you want to go back and do it again. And then all the politicians jumped in, and they said, no, we won't investigate BP. We won't get to the core of this, you know, and they locked it, you know, so... You know, people haven't figured this out now. You know, we've got the banksters, you know, slapping us in the face. We got an oily slap in the face from the oil companies. And we just saw that we really don't have any rights whatsoever. A foreign country invaded our shores and took over. And not only did they invade the shores, they left a big oily mess, you know, behind. And you know, people are getting Class B felonies and thousands of dollar fines, you know, for even interacting or asking questions or filming anything there. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious now. People haven't figured this out. I know James Fox came back with the water samples, and he said the water samples showed it was 150 times more toxic than necessary to kill all the fish in the ocean. And then they tell everybody everything's fine. Yeah, come to our beaches, you know. Come on vacation. Go for a swim. Everything's great. And, you know, I hear this stuff, and I go, are these people insane? You know, and obviously they are.
Yes, they are. I agree with you. I think it's a complete psychosis of, you know, complete, you know, greed and power mongering. And, you know, people are dying from it. You know, obviously there was a recent whistleblower that was blown away, supposedly died of a heart attack. But, you know, it's like, unfortunately, when you get in the way of the mega billions, which is propagated in the economies of this planet, you know, through, you know, oil, which we know is completely bogus. You know, it's basically used as a war and control machine mechanism. You know, as soon as we introduce technologies, we know that the Earth gives us all that we need in terms of our power supply. This becomes irrelevant and unnecessary, and clearly the beings that have capitalized on the just billions upon billions of dollars that they have gotten for this, you know, it's clear, you know, that's the control, you know. When you've been in control and you've had a good run, you know, you've basically sold out the human race for your cronies and, you know, to basically bargain for the resources of the earth. I mean, that's really what we're looking at, is the misuse of technology, the misuse of power. It's in our face, being amplified right now. And the thing is, you know, I want to point out is the things that we're speaking about, even though they're very intense, we have to be very careful to not let them overwhelm us. I think that we're right. Coming into an age, in order to unify, we have to have the wisdom of an informed awareness. We have to get beyond the love and light and the rainbow and butterflies and understand, yes, people, this is going on. You know, so it means that we need to wake up and we need to become adults and we need to get responsible. And, you know, I know a lot of us go, well, if I'm only one person, what can I do? The issue is hold the consciousness of your higher being, observe, be aware, be informed. You know, it's not about going out there because you cannot fight the system. If you go and you fight it, you'll be blown away or taken out. So the issue with this is that we have to bring higher consciousness and embody it. And, you know, for me, that's about not engaging to the best of your ability, unless you have to, you know, defend but don't engage. You don't go out there brandishing guns, you know, and trying to fight this. You can't fight it. You know, the more you fight it, the worse it's going to get, and you're going to become a part of the cause of that dark force that you don't want to feed. We can't feed it. Mm. So it's almost like I think we need to understand or possibly ponder, you know, that there is nothing more powerful than God's source. And there is nothing more powerful than the attunement of a pure heart to serve that God purpose. And to truly understand, as we said, you know, God excludes no one. You know, we're here not to judge. We're not here to condemn. We're not here to feed the polarities. We're here to understand what's going on and to find creative resolutions through higher consciousness that allow us to find ways to unify slowly to change this paradigm without being in fear and without coming into, you know, the paralysis of the negativity, because I know a lot of the discussion of this, because I see a lot of people discuss this, and particularly one of the people that's been a thorn in your side, and I think that what happens is when people become really egomaniacal about the conspiracy theory stuff, they lose the point. The point isn't going into the glamour and the sensationalism of it all, you know. It's understanding that this is going on. It's about becoming an adult. It's time to wake up. It's time to grow up and understand that this is going on. And from that place of informed awareness, you start to be guided by your higher consciousness to be able to move through that and not feed that matrix, at least to the best of your ability. You know what I'm saying? Don't feed mudslinging. Don't feed fear. Don't be the one, you know, calling someone, you know, names or whatever else. Because this mudslinging has also been happening a lot within the consciousness groups. And this is something I think that us in the consciousness groups need to have more responsibility and start acting like adults with each other and say, you know, listen, I may not agree with what you're doing, but I respect the intention because I know that we are in the same brotherhood and sisterhood. We want to support the planet and evolution, don't we? Isn't that our common bond? So let's connect on the commonalities instead of, again, focusing on that division and separation, which I notice kind of happens in those groups. I don't know if you feel that same way, but have you noticed that? The people that talk about the conspiracy stuff, they really go in the negative, and then they get kind of munched or consumed by their ego. They can't seem to be able to come out of there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've seen that, too. I realize that there's two sides of the coin, you know, and basically the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you're going to connect with. So, you know, if you do focus on that, now I'm aware of these things going on, you know, basically I know who killed Kennedy, and I know Roswell was a real event, and all these other things, but, you know, it's time to get over that and, you know, go forward with this. You know, what are we going to do now, you know, in the present moment? And how are we going to change ourselves and not be a willing participant in a lot of the nonsense going on here and be a blessing to life? And you know, usually I address, you know, what I do is it's kind of interesting. I have an interesting role down here. and it's like, saying it like it is, you know, just saying it straight up, saying it like it is, you know, with loving detachment, not out of anger, you know, not out of fear or anything else, but just saying it like it is and letting, you know, the cards fall where they need to. And then I just walk away from it. And, you know, it's an evolutionary process. But, you know, with me, it's like somebody will, you know, start throwing all kinds of stones and nonsense, and I just let them go, you know, for a while. And then I'll address the issues at one time, basically, and just say, you know, basically you're looking into your own reflection and it's time to own it, you know, so, and leave it at that. But I think it's with me, I have a thing about integrity. You know, if you are going to show yourself as a light worker or a, you know, a spokesman for the UFO community or whatever, then do it. You know, walk your talk. And if you did fall short in an area, own it and rise to the occasion. You know, move, take a step up. And, you know, there's somebody that needs to be the sounding board there, and sometimes it, unfortunately, it's me.
But, yeah.
No, I'm not doing it to harm people or to compete with people. I'm really doing it to kind of push them to the next level and say, come on, you know, we can do better than that. We can really shift into high gear and get this information out on the highest levels, you know, and move out of the petty bickering and the competition and the other nonsense.
I agree with you. And one of the things that I have seen, you know, having been on, you know, the receiving end of that same kind of focus, which, you know, again, I think it just is territory that when you become more of a public persona, there is a controversy that's going to be stemmed by what we do, James, and it's just kind of accepting that's what it is. And our devotion, you know, to God and to serve, you know, outweighs the discomfort of all of that. So we continue to do that. But the issue that I have seen that has weighed heavy on my heart is that most of the time when I source that mudslinging and that kind of behavior, it's not even coming from the being. It's coming from an agenda outside that is not human. And I've actually tried to say that to some of my quote-unquote attackers, and they just basically told me that I was insane and psycho and out of my mind. So I realized, well, you know, if you're being the object of the scrutiny and the accusation, you can't really be the one that says that, you know, because my thing is I'd like to try to create solidarity into the oneness. Let's agree to disagree, and just, you may not like me, you may hate me, but at least know my intention is with all of my heart, I'm here to serve humanity and the planet. I mean, that's truly what I'm trying to do, you know, whether you agree with it or not. So at least look at it from that level. But to understand that the negative alien agenda is designed to keep fear and division among our consciousness groups. So it's like I'm always amazed when it's the consciousness groups that are the most hostile attacking groups, because they're the ones talking about love and evolution and, you know, supposedly about, you know, supporting humanity. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, shouldn't we be the ones really being the examples about, you know what I mean, trying to connect with each other, trying to respect each other's body of work, whether you agree with it or not, at least hold that intention for each other, because that's what I think a lot of us as a human being, we just want to be connected to God. We just want to be connected to each other. We just want to experience love. I mean, really. You know,
the bottom line, in the heart of hearts of all humanity, we want to experience a thoroughly loving, joyous, abundant life and reconnect with the Creator. That is the bottom line. And that is a God-given right, and it's been usurped so many times by so many other organizations and institutions and things like that. And really, that's the bottom line, is we can have that. We can have all of it, and everybody can live a prosperous, loving, joyous life, you know, in connection with the Creator, and it's just a matter of choice and focusing on that, making that your reality and moving in that direction and just kind of letting the other things fall away.
Yes. Yes, well, I totally agree with that, and I'm really a proponent of saying, you know, look, your consciousness and the power of your consciousness belongs to you, and, you know, become a self-sourcer of thought impulses. You know, when you're angry, when you're in that kind of behavior, go within and ask your being, ask your body, where is this sourcing from? Is it my thought? Is it being generated? Is it being manipulated? What is it? Because that's what I see a lot of, too, is a lot of us don't seem to have that tool. We become identified with a thought, you know, whether we're angry or we make a judgment about something, you know. It's generally we become identified with that, and we don't actually have the tool to ask ourselves, wait a minute, is that thought belong to me? Do I really want to own that thought? Because honestly, with the mind control fields and the architecture of what I'm seeing, which I'm so glad you mentioned the gentleman that's whistleblowing that, because I'm aware of that. According to The Guardian, since November of 2009, the mind control harnesses that exist within a certain parameter of, again, that third chakra area that controls our conscious mind matrix has massively amplified. So they're basically saying, you know, for those of us that are conscious and aware, we've got, you know, basically till the end of 2012 to really get steps, really get our station of identity outside of the mental body paradigm, outside of that ego, third dimensional solar plexus, me consciousness, because the more we stay there, the more we're going to suffer, actually. And it's not by punishment. It's just by the physics of the changes on this planet. You're going to feel that density and the weight of it, and it's going to be unbearable to you.
Or that I'm seeing right now, the me consciousness is just folding in on itself, and we do have to align with that unity consciousness wave that's coming through. It's not optional, and you know, I always say resistance is futile because these forces are anything we can imagine. You know, we're out of time. I guess we can give your website one more time before
thank you.
So it's energeticsynthesis.com?
Yes, it is, James. Thank you.
That's the best way to get a hold of you, I imagine.
It is. It is. Thanks so much.
You know, we could go for 3 hours here. Unfortunately, we don't have 3 hours. But I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And it's great to hear like-minded people out there that can see the whole picture and not just a little piece of the pie.
Oh, thank you, James. You know, again, we had such an amazing time in the last conference, and it feels like I feel really an expansion, like we're going to be able to step into even more joy through that unification platform. I'm really feeling another level of support for those of us that are willing to step into that.
Oh, I agree. I think it's coming in and just exponentially in wave after wave after wave. Well, again, we've got to sign off. I'm out of time. I can't take you enough on the show. And we'll do it again real soon.
Thank you. Lots of love to you and eSTUDY Group. Thank you.
Great. Well, have a good evening.
You too.
This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. And watch the skies. And better yet, watch your consciousness. See what's coming in and what's going out. Have a good evening. Good night.